This is Jeremy Maddox, the adorable deplorable. So, what did I learn from last week? That contrary to the alt-left's contention that bodily fluids are art when you dip, say, a crucifix or a Bible in urine, if it happens to a book, it's vile. Lots of things to get to. In a while, my guest is going to be journalist Bryden Proctor to tell me why the Jews are to blame for all evil in the world. Some listeners have expressed concerns recently that ever since the interview with Based Southern Belle and the Unite the Right coverage, that this show has leaned too heavily on the alt-right and the Nazis. If these people are frequent listeners, they should know that my grandmother escaped from Nazi Germany, and thus I'm seeking my heritage. Tracing one's roots does not make them a National Socialist. Given the fact that speaking too loudly about the Nazis in modern Germany can get you prosecuted with a litany of charges, I feel privileged to be able to speak freely as an American, encumbered only by stigmatized rhetoric that lesser-minded people use to try to box me in. Nazi, white supremacist. Couldn't be further from the truth. But you know what? I don't have to explain myself. Yes, I have a fascination with the alt-right, but if they can take the fight to Antifa's doorstep and crush those commies, well, America did have a temporary ally in Soviet Russia, did they not? Now, let's talk about cognitive dissonance. I'm going to play this clip from immediately after the shooting in Las Vegas last week.
She's breathing. Anyone here hit needs an EMT? You're good? Give me a second. EMT! Anyone EMT? EMT! EMT! Anyone EMT?
Where?
Right here. Come on. Come on. There are no EMTs. They've turned the lights off. Where are the EMTs? Why are the lights off?
Turn the lights off to secure the area.
Shooting's already stopped. The shooting was going on during the shooting. Now we need lights to assess victims and assign EMTs.
Okay, everybody right now that's here on ground is deceased.
No, they're not. I got EMTs working on the guy here. I got EMTs working on the guy here. I got an EMT and a nurse working on the guy over here. I need lights on. If you know how to do that, get these lights back on.
Okay, who are you?
Innocent bystander, bro. My mom's a nurse.
Okay.
I'm just trying to help.
Okay, who are you, sir? Did you hear how annoyed the security guard sounded? Just how totally inconvenienced his day was. Oh, well, we got some dead bodies over here, but I mean, you know, I'd love to get home at some point. You know, I've been pulling a double. it's a shame that an innocent bystander was more concerned with initiating emergency medical treatment than any personnel on the ground, you know. Tragic. Now, these are the kinds of people that are in charge of our institutions. This is an example of the first example of cognitive dissonance. (Clears throat) Now, the second example here that I'm going to play is from the mayor of Puerto Rico, Carmen Yulín Cruz. We all know that Puerto Rico has been devastated by the hurricane recently, and how she's been begging and crying for aid to the ravaged state. And there's no doubt they're in trouble. But listen.
...100 miles by 35 miles long. So I am asking the President of the United States to make sure somebody is in charge that is up to the task of saving lives. If anybody out there is listening to us, we are dying, and you are killing us with the inefficiency and the bureaucracy.
Yeah, it seems like she's killing them with her inefficiency and bureaucracy, or at least the inefficiency, because as she was giving that speech, she was surrounded by pallets of food and water, which Trump came to deliver to people firsthand. Like, you know, he got off his high horse and he went out and he started cutting open pallets, you know, and handing out supplies to these people. Everything from paper towels to water, while she's sitting there trying to make this about her, a poor me thing, you know. It's tragic what's happened, but the problem that I have is that this Carmen Yulín Cruz, who clearly is not an effective leader once her mettle has actually been tested, is that while Trump was visiting, during an interview she gave to the press, she took the time to brandish a nasty shirt, which I guess is in reference to that cunt Ashley Judd saying, "I can be really nasty, woman, when I have to be." And basically, this bitch was putting her pussy out on the political pedestal while Trump was visiting, in order, just because she's not a fan of the president. She was using a t-shirt to antagonize the president while he was handing out supplies, and she was begging for more. How much supplies was she handing out to people when the president was? That's what I'd like to know. The third example of cognitive dissonance I want to leave you with here before I move on to other topics. This was 6 days ago. Christopher Kuhn wrecked a car with his son in the passenger seat. He didn't buckle him in. He crashed his car. The son went through the windshield. The father then took great strides to conceal the license plate and run off. And instead of, saying, "Forget about me, you know, there's nothing more that can be done, I got to worry about my son," he runs off and continues to lead police on a chase to apprehend him. And he leaves the son to die on the windshield that he just went sailing through. Clearly more worried about his fleeting kind of freedom than any kind of aid for his son. These are three examples of people completely disconnected from society, two of which are in positions of leadership, who should be able to stand up to, find it within themselves to rise up and take command of the situation. And instead, both of them are frustrated, they're yelling, they're blaming other people, they're acting suspicious of other people who are trying to take charge. And of course, the third guy is just a worthless piece of shit that's just human refuse from a ghetto of some sort in New Jersey. He doesn't even have the lofty status of mayor or security guard who had a bad day to his credit. He's just a terrible father and a worse human being. since this Weinstein thing broke a few days ago, Harvey Weinstein, who is responsible for probably most of the movies that I have enjoyed over the last 20 years, his name has been tied to production in one way or another for at least 20 years. All the Kevin Smith movies. I'm sure some Tarantino flicks, probably most of them. The point is, his name's been around on quite a few marquees for a very long time. And now he stands accused of multiple rapes, sexual assaults, and coming soon down the pike, according to sources used by Mike Cernovich and Alex Jones, soon to be pedophilia accusations leveled against him. And somehow he thinks he's still going to get up and over these kinds of accusations. Even if he were 100% innocent, not guilty of a single one of these charges, he's still done. The thing is, most of these women probably did not consider it assault or rape at the time. And I understand that Asia Argento has now joined the fray as someone who claims that she was assaulted and given oral sex. I don't know how you can square oral sex and sexual assault, meaning they are performing oral sex on you. But okay, we'll go with that. I seem to recall that early in her career, she did a movie in which she was the abductee of a character played by Dennis Hopper. And she sure seemed comfortable in that role for someone with symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, they're probably is a 2-to-1 ratio of truth and validity to these charges, but you cannot tell me with 100% certainty that everyone who jumps on this bandwagon of Harvey raped me is being 100% truthful. The truth is, the human memory is like silly putty. It can expand and conflate things. It can imprint, it can take something the way you remember it and imprint it in a different way so that when it comes out of your mouth, you're communicating something totally different. In the same way that it's been speculated, you know how Travis Walton, the guy from the 70s or maybe 60s, who said that he was abducted by aliens and he passed every polygraph test administered to him, as well as his friends. Now, he said that he saw lights in the sky, and those are the kinds of questions he was asked during those polygraph tests. Now, he can say that he saw lights, you know, in the polygraph session, but then, you know, when he's talking to the press, he can make these elaborate stories about space and aliens and everything. What self-respecting polygraph administrator is going to ask, what did the aliens look like? Did you see aliens? Did you space travel? You know, the thing is, he can say that he saw lights in the sky because he did, because that was actually a military testing range. Just over the ridge there, the Mogollon Ridge, there was flight tests being conducted with military aircrafts. And so he can say he saw strange lights in the sky, and he's disappeared for several days, and your imagination draws the rest of the, you know, picture. I imagine that's how they got away with it. Maybe he did get abducted by aliens. I kind of hope he did. Anyway, I'm sorry, that's a terrible comparison when we're talking about an ongoing sex scandal in Hollywood. Is anybody actually surprised that there is a sex scandal in Hollywood? Hasn't Hollywood... Aren't casting couches the bedrock and foundation of Hollywood? The Hollywood aristocracy? I think that we would be more concerned if there weren't executive producers, big film studio moguls, and directors who didn't use the casting couch protocol. This is Hollywood protocol. Now, it's possible that Harvey Weinstein is just a flat-out serial rapist, and he's gotten away with it through his influence, power, money, the things that he could offer his victims. And it's also very telling that he had his alleged victims watching him shower, as opposed to him watching them shower. And that's because people like him, it's all about them. It all ties back to them. There's no give, only take, I guess. And the thing is, like I said, with so many people poised to jump on this Harvey raped me bandwagon, it's not that some of the girls can't be telling the truth, it's that not all of the girls can possibly be telling the truth. I'm sorry, but when did we forget that women are not incapable of lying about anything, about the widest lie? Now, that's not villainizing women. That's just bringing you back to reality. That's tethering you with the constraints of reality. You know, that's anchoring you to Earth so that you don't float away into the outer regions of space, you know, like some metaphysical kite. If Cernovich and Alex Jones' sources are to be correct, and they've been pretty scarily accurate so far, Cernovich said that there were going to be rape accusations, and here's Rosanna Arquette and Asia Argento today. They come out and they talk about it. Now, if pedophilia accusations come around next, I would start taking these gentlemen more seriously. Honestly, I already would be taking them more seriously because Jones was warning of an attack like the Las Vegas massacre at least 5 days in advance, as they usually are. William Cooper predicted 9/11. I'll never forget, though, when I read Olivia Munn's book, Suck It, Wonder Woman, and how she painted the picture of when she went back to this high-profile director's trailer. There's a lot of money involved in this project. I guess she auditioned for it. Now, this person was entrusted with a lot of money on Fox Studios' part, and they were developing a Marvel Comics franchise to film. So that leaves it squarely in the most likely the Brett Ratner or Bryan Singer territory. I think it turned out to be Brett Ratner. And Olivia Munn talked about how she played it up like humorously, how she walked into this guy's trailer on the set, and she found him like greeting her from out of the bathroom, like buck naked, with shrimp cocktail in his hand, and wagging his dick around, and moaning as he pinched his nipples and everything. And she said on a scale of 1 to ancient Rome, it was past ancient Rome in terms of decadence. That's when Olivia Munn was actually a pretty cool chick. She didn't care to embarrass herself for, you know, the amusement of the white male patriarchy. And now she's just another enshrined pretty face who's all bluster and hot air on the Trump-hating bandwagon. But I'll never forget that story that really painted a picture of just how decadent Hollywood really is, and how that becomes the normal kind of behavior for someone in that setting who's never told no. And if they are told no, they're told yes in 100 different other ways. If no one ever tells you no, before you know it, you're going to be masturbating with shrimp cocktail in one hand and your man tits in the other. All right. On that note, I'm going to get to the first part of my interview, as promised here, with journalist Bryden Proctor. To understand, to get to the root of why so many in the alt-right are turning towards the false promises of National Socialism, and why are the Jews so bad? Now, I don't think that there's enough evidence that he could ever amass to convince me that the gas chambers of World War II did not happen. But he is adamant that the Jews are bad news. Welcome back. This is Jeremy Maddox, host of The Quiet Place. I'd like to take this time to remind everyone that I am not a danger to myself or others, and I feel that's especially pertinent to say today in light of the tragedy in Las Vegas. I'm not going to waste anyone's time with thoughts and prayers and everything, not because I think prayers are a waste, but because it's just cliche and it's not going to help anybody. They will have to deal with their own pain, and I'm sorry that this happened. And, you know, people are losing it left and right, but mostly left. Now, I come from a school of thought that everyone should be allowed their time to speak, no matter how repugnant or how repugnant that speech may be, or how much you disagree with it, or how misunderstood it is. You know, I grew up studying the greats in radio, like Bob Lasseter, who would frequently entreat David Duke, William Cooper, once converted an Aryan skinhead on the air, who realized he was following National Socialism without even realizing it. And I've dabbled in the alt-right the last few months, and I saw what occurred at Charlottesville, which was a travesty of justice, and the mainstream media had a field day with it. And today I'm going to talk with someone on the far right from what I presume to be the blood and soil crowd, that percentage of the Unite the Right that does believe that the Jews may be behind everything, the unseen mechanism of power behind everything in politics. And I'm going to play devil's advocate today. And I went out and found someone who I believe to be as reasonable a spokesman as I'm going to find for this worldview. And joining me now is Bryden Proctor, former or possibly current stand-up comedian and also fellow podcaster. Bryden, you still with me?
Yeah, I am still with you. And I want to go ahead and preface everything going forward to say that I'm not affiliated with any groups. I wasn't even at the torch lighting the night before. Mm-hmm. When, you know, the whole blood and soil thing. I'm not a National Socialist. I'm actually a commentator and journalist, and, you know, a little bit of a shitlord comedian on the side. But I know where National Socialists are coming from, and I've had several discussions with them. I am someone that recognizes Jewish influence and the power that it does have over us, however. So I'm not sure if I definitely don't speak for anyone but myself, perhaps my website, mainly just me and my musings here. But definitely when it comes to You know, Jewish influence, I do think that it's the best place to start and end with when looking at the problems that our people are facing. So that part's fair. And I don't like the nefarious part of that you said there. But I do, I mean, I'm never going to turn down a comparison to someone like the good doctor, Dr. Duke. So, you know, there's that. There was little bits and pieces of the intro there that
that you took issue with, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Apologize. Well, how about William Pierce?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. William Pierce had a lot of great things to say. I think as a leader, he was a very, very smart man. That was obviously before my time. I'm only 30 years old and was not involved with this one the time that he was, though I know several people that, you know, really liked Pierce. But once he died, it kind of that whole movement sort of petered out for a number of reasons. But yeah, I mean, I like a lot of good things that Pierce, a lot of things that Pierce had to say, but not that you shouldn't poke fun at him, like Murdoch. It's a great web series on YouTube.
Oh yeah, with the feels guys, and they go on these kooky adventures to red pill people, right?
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's amusing. I like the one where they time traveled and changed the words of the Beatles song "Hey Jude." I'm not gonna lie, man. The alt-right definitely is never boring. It's always entertaining. I feel like a lot of it stems from 4chan people, like, just having fun and you know, posting these gas chamber memes, and they got so used to it that they are actually starting to believe it now. And I just wonder how much of this is sincere belief. When did you come to this conclusion that the Jews are the driving force of the world? What led you down this path? Where did it start?
Well, to say that the Jews are the driving force of the world is a little bit of an overstatement. But I will go ahead and answer your question and where you're going with this, because there are plenty of other factors. And it's not to say that there is some giant, at least in my opinion, some giant Jewish conspiracy that every Jew is getting a newsletter or something like that. That's far from the case. But I, way back when, and I've told this story many times, was into Ron Paul quite a bit. Obviously, I was involved with Chan culture. I remember when, you know, B went from, and Paul especially, went from being, you know, into the whole, what now we would call Nazbol, like really into Stalin and all of that, towards a little more libertarian stuff. But I was into Ron Paul. Liked him a whole lot, you know, well, worked with the campaign and things like that in a very, very small capacity at the time, a very, very, very small capacity. I went on to do a little bit more with Trump this go around. But, you know, started with the whole libertarian thing, eventually dove into anarchist theory, which is heavily, heavily Jewish. And then once I met with some of these anarchist kids over in Los Angeles, I found out that they're not anarchists at all. But they're communists. And again, that's very, very Jewish. I was not spending too much time on politics for a few years. I mean, I would keep up with it. I've always been very politically and news minded, but I was, you know, a comedian. I like to make jokes about things that are easily observable and relatable and a little bit edgy. I'm never going to lose that edge to things. And I started to look into race realism, and this was shortly after, you know, the whole Trump thing. Like, I mean, if I look back at a lot of my life, especially during like the Ron Paul days and stuff, I've always had a problem with Israel because of the amount of money spent, you know, supporting them, all of the military support that we give to them, all of the terrible things that they do to another group of people I don't really care about.
Palestine, which
they're also Semitic people. So I'm not, it's not that I am like a big fan of them, but I didn't like that we were supporting Israel so much, this foreign country, relentlessly, and every single politician on TV said, Israel, Israel, Israel. And I thought, there's something up with these guys. And I had my internalized racism, my internalized anti-Semitism, just something didn't sit right with these things, but I beat myself up about it. And I liked Trump. And there was, it's a lie to say that only white people supported Donald Trump. That's completely untrue. But I started to look more and more into race realism. And then ultimately, and it took a while, I realized that it's not necessarily, in my opinion, these, you know, other races that are the big problem, or that it's even Islam that is like the biggest problem. Yes, these things are issues and they should be addressed, but the driving force behind them tends to come from a very, very small group of people. I, during my more libertarian, you know, anarcho-capitalist days, during the Occupy Wall Street days, it's funny that fuck the 1%, these bankers, these big jerks, these powerful people. I want to go back in time and just tell myself, yeah, all of those guys, they all are, you know, Bergblatstein man. You know, they're all Jewish. And when you see that, it's hard to unsee it. And then you start to look for more. And ultimately now there's a game that I like to play with people who don't really understand this, is 6 degrees to Shlomo. So it's similar to 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, except it usually only takes two. I asked them, what's one thing in society that you really just don't like that you look at? And we live in clown worlds where there is so much of this. I say, what's a thing that you just think this is completely ass backwards? And you can usually get to Jewish influence within 1 or 2 degrees. In one way or another. And this has been really prevalent throughout history. I mean, the Jews controlling things, as I don't like to put it that way, but that has been the biggest conspiracy theory since, you know, the dawn of time, really, the dawn of modern civilization. They've been expelled from 109 countries, or expelled, I'm sorry, 109 times. I mean, I believe it's like France, they've been kicked out of like 3 or 4 times. And you've got to ask yourself why. But you're not allowed to ask why, and you have this weird feeling in you when you start to ask why, and that is totally programmed. It's the eternal victim is the Jewish people. And you start to dive into that and see people's reactions to this, and it doesn't mean that you're throwing up Roman salutes and being a giant Nazi or even sending oven memes or whatever. As much as I like oven memes and edgy humor and things like that, there is a serious component to this. There is a very serious history that comes with this, and just day to day you can see the influence, but you're not allowed to address it. And that's what pushes a lot of people over to, you know, actually looking into it. Because who is pushing for opening open borders? It tends to be left-leaning media outlets, which are owned and controlled by people of the tribe. Who's pushing for refugees? It tends to be people of the tribe. And you can't help but think, wow, something's going on with these Jews.
Well, now, okay, why, and I know you said you're not a National Socialist, why do you think that so many of these young men are coming to the conclusion that National Socialism, which has never been implemented in America, at least intentionally, I guess, you know, some people have tried to implement socialism, but why do you think that so many young men have fallen under the spell of National Socialism, that would be the answer to the American problem?
Well, National Socialism and socialism are not the same thing. National Socialism and fascism, or as Papa Mussolini would have liked to have called it, corporatism, but it's obviously that word doesn't translate here into the modern day. What National Socialism really is yes, it allows for a market, but what you have to do when starting a business, you have to ask yourself, and this is why I like the fascism a little bit more than the National Socialism, a little bit less of a planned economy, but it has to be good for the nation, and what is the nation but its people? So to regulate the economy under National Socialism would be things like giving incentives for birthing children, that type of planned economy. It's not like socialism. It's not like it's the big handout. Simply put, if you even go back to the term Nazi and where that comes from, it was made by a Jew. And it was a very clever thing too. They used to call the socialists Stasis. So they didn't like that very much. So they were like, all right, National Socialists, call them Nazis. Hitler hated that term. And I don't want to go into the whole Hitlerian thing because, you know, I'm not a Hitlerian. I mean, I have sympathy and respect for Hitler's Germany. I understand what he was going through and trying to accomplish, getting people out of, Weimar. But obviously that cannot be applied to today's America. And there was a lot of mistakes that happened with that. But as far as people being drawn towards fascism, National Socialism, things like that, more of a planned economy, more of a third position in a way, is that capitalism has ultimately kind of screwed us over. That's pretty damn Jewish. And then socialism, the far left, has ultimately screwed a lot of people over. The third position is collectivist in the way that, it's all about the people, but that doesn't mean that the best and brightest aren't going to, come out on top or be rewarded for that type of thing. So to say that National Socialism is socialism, I think is a gross misunderstanding or misstatement when it comes to what it actually is. It's not exactly a left-wing ideology, although it is socially collectivist.
Now, I understand that there were 45 communist goals that were that were spoken into congressional record, and looking down through the list, it seems like a lot of them have been accomplished, and it makes me wonder, was McCarthy right? I mean, it's been kind of, I feel like I've been conditioned to look at McCarthyism as something negative, but when I look at all the things that they've tried to overturn, and they've succeeded in doing, and now they even want to seize the pronouns and make that some sort of fucked up law to turn against us. They want to rewrite biology. They want to revise biology and rewrite history. The removal of statues is one of the 45 goals. They were to infiltrate student papers, seize the national media. I mean, it seems like a lot of them have been already implemented, and that's some scary shit. Now, I know Hitler was very anti-communist, and it was even said that the communists started the fire at the Reichstag. But so is it that these guys think that the only way to remove the cancer of communism is to treat it with something equally as extreme in fascism? We can agree that fascism is extreme, right?
I believe that it's a right-wing ideology that is kind of the medicine for the cancer that is communism. I mean, historically speaking, fascism or any reactionary politics is a response to revolutionary politics, which is, left-wing communism. For the record, yeah, McCarthy was right. I think everybody, knows about that now. But as far as it goes with the removal of statues, which it's going to get worse, taking over learning institutions, which is it's about as bad as it can get, but I'm sure it's going to get worse. The media, all of this, these are Bolsheviks. The Bolsheviks were Jewish, predominantly Jewish. It's not that fascism is the end-all, be-all. It's simply the medicine needed for a society that's ailing with communism. I mean, if you look at Chile, Pinochet was not a fascist. I mean, he was an authoritarian, but I'm a big fan. If he had not come along, and sadly he did, leave, and he did a lot of things that I can't say I agree with. Political killings are never great, but that's something communists are very happy to do. And unfortunately, that's something that a lot of, reactionary governments have done as well. But this is the nature of things, and this is how things always were before we were taught in schools, is it a travesty? And this, again, it comes back to, the ultimate thing, your Holocaust over there. These things do happen, but it's been a slow takeover this time. We've been infested with communism. Chile would look like Venezuela if it was not for a right-wing authoritative fella like Pinochet to come in there and get rid of the communists. And we've seen the ultimate end of the end result of communist regimes. We really haven't seen the end result of fascist regimes outside of Pinochet leaving. So, which ultimately it became a pretty bad lefty place to live. But I can't say that I wholeheartedly can endorse fascism or national socialism. I think they have their flaws. I want Ancapistan, but we can't have that without a high IQ, high trust ethno state. So in the meantime, I think that everybody wants a return to law and order and traditional values. So, the pendulum swings and it comes back in a really, really high way. Let's try to get as much done as we can, because you're not going to stop it from swinging. You might as well just try to rid your society of the disease that infects so many young minds. Even Dr. Ben Carson has said that socialism is this disease, and it's a real shame. So, if we could rid our countries of communism and communist thought and cultural Marxism and all of this, that would be nice. But the thing is, they have been doing this for longer than either of us, I would assume, have been alive. And it's just kind of reaching its apex right now, where it's incredibly obvious. And then with the election of Donald Trump, that put a wrench in the gears, and they kind of lost their shit. So they had to
update. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. They kind of had to up things. Now everything is white supremacy. Now they have to get rid of all of these statues. They're already going after Abraham Lincoln. I thought they were supposed to like that guy. Thomas Jefferson, what have you. Soon, as Andrew Anglin said, in the next few weeks, they will stand up and they will say, we are not American. That is our opportunity to say that, as whites, we are. I really like that from Anglin. I know some people don't like him. I think he's kind of a brilliant man and a brilliant troll. But all of this is Bolsheviks, and it comes from the Frankfurt School, to destroy white identity, to look at it as some sort of psychiatric problem. This is pretty old, and it's communist as fuck. A lot of these guys come from families that are still mad that communism didn't win. So that's kind of the problem that we're at. With the Jewish issue, it is oftentimes inherently communist, or you have the other side of it, which is inherently, very, I don't even want to say capitalist, because it's not even true capitalism. It's nepotism and crony capitalism. So you're stuck between the left of this communism, and you're stuck on the right of this being a wage slave. And many, I believe, are seeing that what really matters is, their family, their country, their God, and absolute happiness, instead of playing some type of game that on both sides ends up being, it's Jews at the top.
Now, so Karl Marx was Jewish, no doubt, right?
Yes.
And this all started with that shit, right?
I think it goes back a little bit more than that. But yeah, I mean, we can start at Marx.
This guy never even held an office. He never worked a day in his life. So it makes sense that he would start this pseudo religion that appeals to the lazy man, right? Who believes that he is entitled to all without having earned it. I mean, that's one of the big contentions, I'm guessing, here, right?
A lot of that, yes. A lot of that, sure, yeah. The problem with the modern version of any type of Marxism, though, is that who are going to be the ones that are the higher performers, the higher earners, the ones that are going to be supporting the underclass? It's typically, well, I mean, in this country, in America, actually, it's Indians and then Asians, and then I believe whites are third. But you're forced to support the underclass who does not support itself very well. I mean, I come from West Virginia. I'm not not anything but a working class individual. But it's not just that. It's a way to modernly take away, that's not a word, modernly, take away from the performers and those with a nice head on their shoulders, because they're not going to be able to afford to make families. They've got to support people that are just sitting back and just breeding. So that's the modern problem with that. But communism isn't just about redistributing wealth. It's about redistributing power. And besides the guys at the top, the academia, the ruling class, they needed to take away from the middle class. There cannot be a middle class at all within a communist nation. There can only be the ruling class and then everyone else. And you have to break down and destroy any real will to a natural will within the white people to succeed or be insular with your own people, to be a case selected breeder, which is means to take care of your one child and make sure that, you know, one to three children or whatever, make sure that they succeed as opposed to running around and banging everything. That's a big push by these same people to open the borders, because they want that one world government. Open the borders, push all of these third worlders in here, and outbreed white people, outbreed the actual American people. Not to say that blacks don't have a right to some of America, or at least a right to live here as Americans. Everybody else can go ahead and take a hike. But, the Jews had a big, big, big part in bringing African slaves over here. But to dumb down the population, to have an easily controlled class of people, that is perfect for communism. You know, while Hitler was experimenting with eugenics, trying to create the Übermensch, the Soviet Union was trying to crossbreed people with animals. And that should tell you everything. Because Hitler wanted to create an actual, you know, like solid Aryan man. And the Soviets wanted to create an easily controlled idiot class.
So that shit with the monkey man hybrid, that was real?
I know it was tried. I mean, obviously that doesn't work.
Yeah.
They did some weird stuff, dude.
Listen, yeah. I know.
Everybody did weird shit, man. It was a weird time in science.
Lavrenti Beria, Stalin's left-hand guy, right? You know who I'm talking about?
Name sounds familiar.
Lavrenti Beria. Well, anyway, I don't know how the fuck it's pronounced, but it was learned after he died there were skeletons in these tunnels underneath his cellar or basement, and skeletons and he had a lot of blood on his hands, and it was even said that he would round up these girls, right? And he would have them, like, circle, like, in a circle, backs against, up against each other, and they would sit with their feet out in this circle with their backs to each other, and he called it the flower game, because he would circle around, and he would select one, and he would pull them out by the feet, and then he would take them down to his, you know, cellar or whatever, and do all sorts of depraved things to them. So, yeah, the Russians...
Fucking hot.
Come on. I know, edgelord, I know, I get it. You got to. I love edgelord humor. But the thing is, yeah, I think that the Russians had an edge over that, whereas the Germans, I guess, liked to paint it up more nobly. The Russians are more like, you know, you fall in line or you disappear. I guess you would be one of those who denies that the gas chambers were a real, or were they a falsehood? What is your take?
The gas chambers. Yeah. I'm not a Holocaust denier. I believe that plenty of political prisoners definitely died of starvation, typhoid, obviously, being what we would call modern enemy combatants, things like that. The number is grossly inflated, no matter what. As much as I dislike Jews, I don't like the idea of anyone being killed. I'm not that type of monster. You know, I just like to make people, you know, cry, not kill them. But the number is grossly inflated, and it'll continue to go up. It'll continue to go up. And the Holocaust industry is so, so important to these people to get a stronghold on you and say, oh, remember the 6 Guerrillion, they're going, never forget. And I don't see how this is beneficial, because they don't bring up the freaking Holodomor. They don't bring up Mao. This thing is, it's just a way to control you. I mean, how many Holocaust movies are there? The way that they demonize the German National Socialists, who fought valiantly, all right? Like, they fought just as hard as anybody else. And war is a bad thing. You know, I'm not a big fan, again, of people dying. I think it's horrible, especially brother wars. I'm not a pan-Europeanist, but... you know, I know people of German descent that live here in America. They've never been to Germany or anything like that. But, I mean, it's a shame. And I don't like how they've made so much of an industry over this and a control over it. I mean, Holocaust Remembrance Days did we have to address in, like, the first 4 months of Donald Trump's presidency? It was like... I hit a check. I'm like, do we normally have one? Okay, we have one for America, one for Israel, we have one for this particular monument, one for that. Monuments all over the place. There's plenty of absolute admitted falsehoods that have come out from, you know, the whole Holocaust that I can't abide by the official story. No, I don't think they were gas chambers. I think they were delousing chambers. Were they treated badly? Yes. Did they starve to death? Yeah, man. Like, maybe they shouldn't have bombed the shit out of the surrounding areas and in a lot of these camps and, you know, knock off supplies for food and medication. But that's war. The thing is, that's war. And to measure that in our modern terms really spits in the face of a lot of people that are dying in wars right now. Just because we've got the ability to turn everybody into pink dust doesn't mean that... You know, it used to, you know, couldn't pink dust them. You had to round them up, and they ended up starving. You know, how come you never hear about Remembrance Days for Japan? Yes. Over here, like, we nuked the shit out of them, dude.
And Roosevelt had concentration camps for the Japanese. Yeah, yeah. That is overlooked, at least here in America. Maybe not abroad. And in fact, there's evidence in Dinesh D'Souza's new book. You may or may not be a fan of him. I don't know. But in his new book, The Big Lie, he actually quotes Roosevelt praising Hitler. Now, this was in the early 30s, I think, before you know, hostilities reached a boiling point. But Kennedy, too, said that there were lessons to be learned. So, as far as the soldiers, I know Reagan actually kept a promise to lay a wreath on the grave of a German soldier killed during World War II because they were victims of the war just as much. So I can kind of get on the same page with you there that most of these people, let's say, you know, let's say that, I know you don't believe the gas chamber official story, but I mean, I'm proceeding along the line that it is. These people in the German army, they didn't know about that shit going on. I mean, they were just fighting for their country, right?
Right, and I can go ahead and you know, move forward as that, and I often do in any debates or conversations, typically, because when you get to, you know, the meat and potatoes of the. Of the Holocaust, Holo-hoax, that's a little bit down the line. So in most of my conversations, I just move forward with, okay, let's assume that it happened exactly as they said in X-Men. That's fine. But yeah, they wouldn't know anything about this. I mean, even, and people like to put all this blame on and again, I don't want to talk about Hitler too much. They like to put all this blame on Hitler. Things like Scorched Earth, he was not really all well together at that point. There's David Irving, I think it is, wrote about this. He ended up getting a hold of, and he, and this is well-respected stuff. I can't remember the stupid name of it, though. One of the doctors of Adolf Hitler, and his symptoms are very consistent with Parkinson's disease. So a lot of the stuff towards the end of the war, these like weird decisions that were made, were his generals, supposedly, according to this theory. I mean, I'm sure there's probably going to be somebody listening to this that's like, Bryden, you're wrong. And I would love to hear from him. Definitely hit me up on Twitter and let me know. I'm always looking to learn. But World War II is something I'm going to try to get away from because I don't think it's as beneficial. Unless you're talking about like the Holocaust industry, which, you know, there hasn't been any movies about the Holodomor, which the official numbers are like 12 million. They don't talk about that because, well, they weren't Jews. They were doing that. Now,
There is a movie that came close recently. I think it was called Denial. It addressed it in a more realistic way from your guys' side than any others have anyway. So,
and what do you mean might be realistic?
Well, instead of painting you guys as absolute monsters, you know, with no remorse or anything, it actually addressed it. I mean, like, it actually, this English actor who's in a lot of famous movies and everything, he actually portrays David Irving in the movie, and, you know, he talks about how he offered $1,000 to anyone who could prove that anyone died in, you know, the gas chambers and all that and everything. And it was based on the court case in the 80s, right? And David Irving, I understand that he spent 3 years in prison just for, you know, questioning a narrative, which, you know, even if he's wrong, or even if he's right, that's still outrageous to me. But
why is it that is the that I mean that is the law in so many countries, these governments that typically got more than a few Jews. Why is it that that's the only thing that you can go to jail for denying? You know, I see people all over the place saying white genocide and white replacement is a myth, even though we've got the numbers to back it up. Maybe you're not a fan of the term white genocide, even though it does line up with the UN definition of it, but in one little paragraph. Again, I'm still not a fan of the term white genocide, but you can just say, oh, no, that's not real. And then the same person will turn around and say your grandkids are going to be brown. but you can't say this about the Holocaust or question Jews or say anything like, hey, man, awful lot of Jews running the media. Isn't that a little fishy? Because it seems like if they have nothing to hide with this, they would be fine with you trying to poke some holes into it.
I looked into this. It was a statement from, I believe, a Holocaust museum, possibly in Israel, I think. Or no, it was a scientist who studied this stuff, and he said that to allow people to question it, if I'm remembering the words right, he said to allow it to be questioned. If they can not believe one part of it, then they can say that none of it is true. If they can be moved to say that one part of the Holocaust is not true, then they can be moved to say that all of it is untrue, and we can't allow that. A Jewish scientist actually said that, and I believe he is affiliated with the Holocaust Museum. Something interesting, not to jump from one subject to another too fast, but I tend to do that. Sorry. the soap rumor. Now, that has been debunked by Jewish people themselves. So that, I mean, that the Holocaust Museum has come out and said that the idea that Jewish fat was, you know, rendered and used to make soap, that is a total falsehood. I don't know about lampshades, but soap, that is not true. And they have even admitted that. They have not used that as an example of an atrocity in German warfare for 15 years at least.
That was also a World War I rumor as well. The lampshade thing, I believe, was also a World War I rumor. They tried to use it again over in World War II. These are just wartime rumors that show up because panicked Jewish individuals were like, oh, man, we're being rounded up and, you know, put in the ghettos. Oh, man, we're being rounded up and now we're getting moved into relocation and internment camps. Which is, you know, it's kind of a shitty thing to do, but, you know, that's what happened. I mean, it's just what happened, and there you go. But this is a wartime rumor. And, you know, there's this idea that there was like we like to call it the Holocauster. They had like big moving troves that these like train things they'd put people in, and it would go by and shove them into giant ovens, which nobody's ever seen any evidence of this ever, but people still believe it. You'll find older people, boomers, that still believe the fucking soap stuff. It's just been around for the longest time. They make these Germans out to be just the most efficient people in the entire world. And they're like, oh, yeah, these are ovens. I'm like, man, are you sure those aren't bread ovens? Because it looks like you can only fit like maybe one person in there. Where's the bones? They don't just turn to dust. Oh, you're not allowed to dig at any of these things. They're historical sites. Never mind the fact that the number has gone up and changed. And then actually, I can find the article. It came from a Jewish website that it said why the 11 million number is. I've got it right here. Why an inflated 11 million number is not a good thing here. And they had come out and they said that the guy that came up with the original 11 million number inflated it of non-Christians so that Christians would be sympathetic to the Holocaust. So if they're going to lie about that number, why would they not lie about the rest of them? And there's so many myths. But if you were allowed to question these, and if the Jews and the museums would come forward and they would say, whoops, sorry about that, then I would probably be a little bit less aggressive towards them. But there's just so much of this, and they'll get very indignant. And they have so many Christians stuck in this pro-Zionist, you got to defend Israel mindset, that any sensible person would at least look at this type of thing and say, wow, I kind of think there's something wrong with these Jews.
Jumping back to race realism for a minute, I hope that's not too abrupt. But
oh, no, we're good.
I'm not sure what to think about this. I never knew this, if this is the case, but I've had it suggested to me recently in you know, further alt-right circles, that Jewish people do not have the same genetic makeup as a Caucasian. Is that true? They sure look white to me. What?
They look white to me. I think you were hopefully making a reference to Jared Taylor saying they look white to me. But yeah. Yeah, even Wikipedia lists them as an ethno-religious group. So, and you can go to the forward.com. They've got, DNA evidence shows that Jews are a race. They are Semitic people. Yes, they are their own race. Now, Judaism is a religion that anybody can convert to, but good luck moving to Israel, where all the real Jews are allowed to live. So, yeah, they actually are, whether they're practicing Judaism or not. Jews are an actual race of people. They're Semites. It's, Ashkenazis.
Still with me? Brought him.
They just collectively call themselves Jews. But yeah, they're Ashkenazi and Sephardic.
Did it go blank for a second, or were you just taking a breath?
Oh, it's starting to break up. Starting to break up. You want to disconnect the call? I'll go pee, smoke a cigarette, and we'll finish this out.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
We'll do that.
All right. I'll see you in a second. This is fun as fuck, dude. I love this show.
Yeah, yeah. We got to go. We got to get back to it. Yeah. I'll call you back in a few. All right.
All right. See you in a second.
All right.
And if you're still with me, that will have to do for this week. Next week, the thrilling conclusion to Not Another Nazi Podcast, starring Bryden Proctor, whom I vehemently disagree with still, but I don't know. I feel like he's somebody I have to talk to. This is someone I have to retain to keep a dialogue with. And after that's finished, I promise I will get back to more wholesome entertainment, such as filmmakers who like to do monster eating women porn. I don't know, like the Vores, and we'll talk to people who think that Abraham Zapruder was in on the JFK assassination, like I did before, and we'll talk to MRAs and pickup artists, and yeah, wholesome entertainment. One thing's for sure, this is fake news that you can trust. This is fake news you can rely on. With that being said, this is the adorable, deplorable, based Howard Beale, Jeremy Maddox. And when the real world gets to be too much for you, you will always have your quiet place here.